Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast, Round 3 RBC Heritage Breakdown. And joining me today, it's Kyle Porter. What up, KP?
Not much. It was a wild day of golf. I'm excited to recap it and look ahead to Sunday.
I am too. You and I had the chance. I mean, we were on HQ basically all day together. So I've got some nuggets that I know are in your brain, but more I'm interested in learning. And it is a wild leaderboard. We've got 4 guys tied atop the lead. We've got, I think, 21 within 3 shots. Just like your overall thoughts on how low scoring today was and also how this leaderboard sets up for Sunday.
Yeah, it's interesting because it feels like, and we'll talk about this when we get into specific guys later on, It really feels like that somebody could shoot a 62 and win it tomorrow, because there's so many, not only are there so many guys within 5 of the lead, but there's so many like big names within 5. I mean, look at 6 guys shot 63 today. If Rory or Brooks or DJ shoot 63 tomorrow, they might win the golf tournament. Right. Yeah. And so I think that part of it is really interesting. I hope it doesn't turn into just a putting contest. I'm kind of worried about that. It's just like, oh, well, this guy, you know, Chris Stroud made like 4 putts and he wins the tournament. Not that that's, I don't know, it's not bad, but I want to see somebody go out and just have a, you know, what was the tournament that Rory won early in his career when he shot like 61 or 62 on the final? Was it Wells Fargo?
It had to have been, right? Yeah.
I think he did it at BMW as well. He's done it a couple times. Maybe it was Honda. I'd love to see
the fact that we can name like multiple times that Rory goes out and shoots like a 61 to win a golf tournament is kind of crazy.
I'd love to see that from like Koepka or even, I mean, Rory's at 10, you know, if he can go 63, get to 18, that's probably not enough, but it might be playoff. I think I'm either rooting for that, or I think I said this on HQ, just complete carnage, wind, you know, like 40 mile an hour wind, and the winning score is like 11 under.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy part here. We've never seen scores like this. I don't know if it is because there's been no wind, because it's now at a different time of year, because there's a better field here. But the tournament record is a 264. That's 20 under by Brian Gay in 2009. He won by 10 shots.
Yeah,
Kyle. He won by that. 20 under par is might not even win you the golf tournament this week. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
And it's, yeah, that number's definitely in jeopardy. Although, I don't know, you'd have to get like 6 out of the leaders to beat it. It's going to be, I don't know, Sunday's, I'm really fascinated. Maybe even more so, I think I was more excited about last Sunday just because of the names that were up there. I think I'm more intrigued by this Sunday because I mean, I think we're both on web, but I really don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, but I start to see these scores early on Saturday and you're like, I mean, is anybody going to shoot over 64? I mean, it was wild early. And then I think it was good for tournament intrigue that Webb was fine. Bryson wasn't very good late, but it brought kind of everybody back to the field and sets up for Sunday.
Okay. Let's start with Webb then, because I think what you just said is absolutely right, where Webb sleeps on the 36 hole lead. By the time he tees off, I think he was T5. I think he was a shot or two back. Yeah. And then he could have legit just extended and basically put this thing away today. Did not putt particularly well on Saturday. He looked confused on a lot of putts. I don't have the number in front of me. I think he lost like a shot and a half putting, but like that is bad for Webb, good for us, and good for the tour that he didn't just run away with this thing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious about where you fall on because we've been talking about this off and on all week, just the statistical profile of the way a guy puts like a tournament together. Because I think you and I are both on the idea of like, it's really good when guys are playing great tee to green and maybe not putting as well. But then you could turn that around and say, like Tyrrell Hatton, who's tied for the lead, he's, I think he was like 49th tee to green, but first in putting. Well, Tyrrell Hatton's a great ball striker. So you could argue, you know, well, he's going to flip a switch on Sunday with the ball strike. Where do you land on that whole debate?
So definitely love the guys that are going, that are great tee to green, and then maybe they catch a hot putter. I get it, right? The way to win a golf tournament is roll putts in, and the guys that gain strokes putting generally win. It's just so much less sustainable. Like Hatton's gaining 8 strokes putting right now. Like it's crazy. And he might win a golf tournament that way, but he's not going to consistently put himself, if that's what he's relying on, he's not going to consistently put himself at the top of leaderboards.
Yeah. Right?
Those guys pop off for 8 shots on the greens and win, but then you don't hear about them for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And I think to that point, I mean, he talked after his round. It was a little tour saucy, but he said, I don't feel comfortable over the ball. And you're like, well, you just won 64, 63. So I wish I didn't feel comfortable over the ball either.
I love Tyrrell Hatton so much.
He's the best.
Is unbelievable. Just a quick recap of things he's done in the last 2 events that he's played. Flipped off a body of water, then turned around and fired his putter like a shotgun at it, and then told us after he shot the round of the day, 63, that he wasn't feeling comfortable over the ball. This guy's amazing. I love everything about him.
He's kind of low-key. Like, if you had to rank, not like your 10 favorite guys or the 10 best guys, but the 10 guys you want in the hunt on a Sunday, like I think he might be on the list.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of high.
He's going to like, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be nuts. So, so Hatton today, you know, he goes out, shoots another one of these 63s, right? He goes out and fires an 8 under 63, first in approach, first in tee to green this season. Now this is only his, I think he's like 11th. Or his 11th round would have been today, his 11th measured round.
Yeah.
It's like Tiger numbers from years ago. Obviously very tiny sample size. He barely qualifies, but it's like that good.
Yeah. No, he's been great so far this season. He's the only person keeping Rory from leading. Yeah. I think in strokes gained overall, I think Rory's right at his number last year, 2.55 or something like that. And Hatton's over 3. But I don't feel great about him on Sunday just because like the putting numbers are completely unsustainable. Now, I don't know, maybe we look back and say, well, his putting on Saturday won in the tournament or whatever, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it with him. I didn't really talk about Webb there. I think that Webb over the first 2 tournaments back, he's had a couple rounds where he hasn't been great from tee to green, but I think overall he's hitting it well enough that you can have some confidence in what he's going to be on Sunday, right? Like he might not win, but I don't think I'm going into Sunday thinking like Webb could shoot 73. Like I think I know what I'm getting for the most part, depending on if a few putts fall here or there. I think it's crazy. Like Webb is maybe, I threw it out on Twitter, but like my top 10 power rankings for American golfers, Webb's like a top 3 guy right now. And I don't really know how you could argue, I guess, depending on the time frame, it's hard to argue against that, but he's become so consistent and like so much, like I know what I'm getting from week to week. I don't know that I ever thought that was how his career was going to go, but he's been, you know, pulling back from just this week, he's been really impressive over the last few years.
What I like about Webb is he rarely disappoints. And what I mean by that is he doesn't show up at Wyndham and stink, or he doesn't show up at Harbortown and stink. When Webb, the few times a year he doesn't play well and he finishes like T52, it's courses that he has no business contending at. It's WGC Mexico, where I think Paul Tesori like made a comment to someone like, this is not a Webb week. Like we know this is not a Webb week. And like, yeah, okay, he shows up, he finishes like T52, and that's fine. But he always contends the places he should.
Yeah. No, he really does. That's why last week was so surprising, because he plays well at Colonial. And that was, I had him in our one and done last week, and I was like, oh, sweet. Like, he always plays great here, and the one time he doesn't. But no, I thought that, did you see that shot he hit into, was it 15 on Sunday? The par five?
Yes. Okay. His second shot over the trees.
Yeah.
That one? Yes.
That was awesome. I mean, he's just like, his swing is not, you don't watch him swing and you're like, wow, is that like a top 10 guy in the world? But
no,
the end result and the way he kind of goes about putting a round together is, it's really cool. It's really good. It's fun to watch. He has become, just at least on the course, one of my favorite guys to follow and to watch and to kind of see what they're doing.
I agree. Now, the other two guys, and we'll take them one by one here, that are tied for the lead. These are better statistical profiles of guys that are potentially contenders for tomorrow. So Abraham Answer, 10 shots gained from tee to green. He's lost a shot over the first three rounds. Like, that's the type of guy where, you know, he just continues to put himself in positions, and all he needs to do, roll in one or two more putts than he has over the first couple of days, and he might be raising the trophy on Sunday.
Yeah, I really like Answer. I mean, we talked about it during the President's Cup. He's made a leap over the last, I don't know, year, 9 months. Time means nothing anymore, obviously, right. But whatever it's been, I don't know if I'd have to like look at it. He was probably like a tier 4 or 5 guy, and he's jumped up a tier. Like, he's a really good player, and he's really fun too. Like, he's kind of, it was funny. Everybody was tweeting out that picture of him at the microphone after, after his round. And it's like, can we like lower it for it? He's very small. And I don't know. I think, again, like, this course kind of plays into his hands a little bit, because he's not like, I don't think he's short, but he's not like mega long. It highlights his ball striking, and it's good for him.
That photo of him at the podium is exactly what I would look like, by the way. Sympathize with Abraham Answer, but I thought it was hilarious that, yeah, I guess it's a fixed camera and they can't lower it at all. So that's what you get. And then Ryan Palmer is tied for the lead. And I'm going to make the case that Ryan Palmer has been like really sneaky good this year.
Yeah.
So, and like, very small golf is all about these small moments, right? You know, one putt drops or it doesn't, or you get a little lucky, you get a little unlucky. Sony Open this year. Remember, he was in that wet fairway bunker on 18.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where he's at. I think whoever was in the lead made a bogey. Like, he's like tied for the lead. He doesn't know that. He ends up taking, like, trying to be a hero and hit like a fairway wood out of that wet bunker. He hits it literally out of the stadium at Wailea, ends up finishing fourth. Then the next time he teed it up was Farmers. He was in the final group at Farmers. Like, he played terrible. I think he shot a 77 on Sunday, but like, he's been around the lead, and I don't think people really realize it.
No, you're right. And he's another guy kind of like Answer, who, he's third tee to green this week, like 50 or 60th in putting. He's 56th in putting. So he hasn't gotten anything to fall. I don't know. I guess my question for you about Palmer, like, does he ever get you excited? Like when Palmer is like rolling through a round, he's like 4 under at the turn. Are you ever like, oh man, I'm excited about this back nine here?
No. I mean, and I don't know if that's his fault. I mean, there's a lot of guys on tour that if they're 400 through 9, I really don't care about. But no, I like the guy. He seems like one of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah, I think he is undervalued because of how well he's played. But no, he does not move the needle for me one single bit.
And those are like the right guys to bet on, right? Somebody who, like, you probably, I mean, the value you get from betting on Ryan Palmer versus like Ricky Fowler is just staggering. I mean, it's incredible. And so, I certainly think that, I don't know, him and Answer, I would take him or Answer over Tyrrell Hatton on Sunday, just because of the kind of the makeup of the way they've gone about this tournament. Although I think overall, I would pick Webb over all of them.
I would tend to agree with you. If you removed the names, and just looked at the numbers, Ryan Palmer and Abraham Answer seem to be setting up the best for Sunday. Kyle, what if I gave you $1,000? Would that be good?
I would not bet on Ricky Fowler right now with $1,000.
No, he looks bad, man. What if I told you I'd give you $1,000 and you don't even have to give me any of your own money? Would you like that even more?
It's great.
All right. Well, that is where CBS Sports has you covered with our very own golf prop game available at cbssports.com/golf props. That's cbssports.com/golf props. 10 questions every single round. You go in, you decide which side of each prop that you want. If you win, you win $1,000 a chance every day. So you can actually go get that right now. They are live for Sunday's final round. Terms and conditions obviously apply. And I have a prop right here for you, Kyle. One that I wrote myself and I'm excited about. And it's, what will the winning score be? And your options are 20 under or worse, 21 under, 22 under, or 23 under or better.
This feels a little like a sucker bet. I think I'm going 20 under or worse.
So that would mean that none of these leaders, Hatton, Answer, Palmer, Simpson, can shoot a 66 or, well, I guess a 66 65. Would be fine. Yeah, 66 would be fine. A 65 or better. Yeah, I think I might like that.
Yeah, because I think that it feels right now, I mean, we saw 68.1 scoring average on Saturday, which is just silly. Like, that's just a stupid number. It feels right now like that's going to happen, right? Like, one of the 15s will shoot 65, one of the 14s will shoot 64. But I think it gets a little tighter on Sunday, like in terms of the way guys feel, maybe the way the course is set up. I think 20 under or worse is the bet there.
And I feel like this always happens where, I don't know, I don't have the day by day scoring averages on tour handy, but like, yeah, Sunday pressure. Like, someone might go out and shoot another 63 tomorrow, but it might come from Johnny Vegas, who's, you know, T22, or even somebody probably further down the list than that. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it would be a very good round of golf if one of these top four guys goes out and shoots a 65 or better.
I mean, we even saw that on Saturday, right? Like, all these 63s that you're seeing them early on, and then you get to the late guys and Bryson and Webb, and it's just different. That sounds stupid, and I don't know if I can like even have the data to back it up. It would take a lot of work to find that data, but it just seems like we see all these 63s, so it's like, oh well, yeah, of course somebody's going to do that. But I don't know. I think 20 under or worse is the right one there.
I think that is also where I'm at. Okay, we've got a little bit more to talk through, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and super feet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out, Vuori.com/first, and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And we're back. All right, KP, storylines. There are plenty of them for Sunday. I'll give you a couple of notes about just how chaotic today was, and maybe that'll interest us a little bit more for tomorrow. But via Justin Ray, most players at 10 under or better through three rounds at Harbortown, by far. This tournament's been here since 1969. There are 35 guys who are 10 under or better right now. The previous record was 7 in 2018. So that's obviously crazy. Unbelievable scoring. So what are you most looking forward to on Sunday?
Well, I think the makeup of the leaderboard is perfect. And the reason I say that is because you have a lot of guys at the top, other than Webb, who just haven't really been in it before. I mean, they've been in it, but not like Webb has. Like, Webb has contended for and won a lot, right? And then you have a lot of guys behind those guys, Sergio, Brooks, DJ, Bryson, who know they got to go low. They got to shoot 62, 63, 64. And they've been there a lot, and they're chasing down guys who haven't. That to me is the perfect setup for a Sunday leaderboard, because it just engenders great drama and a lot of excitement. Like, that's the way I want it to put. Because if you flip that and you say, like, okay, Chris Stroud's three back of Brooks and DJ, you're like, okay, well, I know how that's gonna go, you know.
Right.
But the way it is, I feel like it creates a bunch of different scenarios that could play out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited for a lot of reasons. I just think whoever, even if it does turn into a putting contest, I feel like it's going to feel like a heavyweight bout. Like, I can already see the coverage right now where this guy's putting for the outright lead. This guy's putting to tie the lead. Like, it's just going to be so much action, and whoever wins it is going to have to win it. Like, there's times where guys fall back, and I mean, we said last week, did Daniel Berger win it, or did like Morikawa or anybody else lose it? Like, I feel like that's not going to happen this week. Like, someone's going to win it.
Yeah. Did you see the pairings, by the way?
No, I haven't. Are they good?
DJ and Brooks are together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those guys are
good.
Just notched at the hip in like all of our coverage in like, yeah, that's great.
JT and Rahm again, they both shot 66 on Saturday. And then Rory got my boy. Scott Stallings.
I was literally, just as you were saying Scott Stallings, I was going to say Scott, because he played well today. He's been playing well. So I was trying to think if he would have lined up with Rory in this situation, and he does. Oh my God. How about, like, how often does a guy, so Webb and Bryson played together the first three rounds?
Yeah.
How often, I do not have the data on this. How often do you think they play together all four rounds? Like, does that ever happen?
It happened. Okay. So it happened at the, I think this happened at the Masters in like 2012. Producer Jacob should look this up, or just Google it, like, while we're finishing this out. KJ Choi and Tiger played together all 4 days.
Wow.
I can't remember the year. I think it was like 2011, 10, 12, somewhere around there. And they were together all 4 days. Cause I remember my wife is a big KJ Choi fan, which for reasons I don't really understand. But she was like,
what is going on?
I don't know. She was like, I feel so bad that he had to be, I mean, cause it's just a circus around Tiger, right? Yeah. She was like, I feel so bad that he had to be with Tiger all 4 days. And also, like, she never got to see him because he was with Tiger all 4 days.
Right.
That one I remember, but it can't be very often.
It can't be. I was rooting for it again. I was hoping that a producer Jacob coming in hot with the, I think, 2010.
Yeah, good research there. Cool. Good job, Jacob.
All right. Well, speaking of Sunday, you can watch all your favorite golfers compete at Harbortown in the RBC Heritage a few different ways on your computer. Yes, sir. Just go to CBSSports.com on your phone. Oh, yeah, it's totally free. Download the CBS Sports app, and you are off and running to watch big old beefy Bryson. We should change that. He didn't play that well today. Slap it around. He did slap it around. Slap it around Harbortown on your small screen. You can also watch on Roku, Fire TV, and Apple TV through the CBS Sports app on those devices. So, in other words, there is no excuse. Never, ever miss a chance to watch Terrell Hatton on CBS this weekend. Very quickly, KP, Bryson starts the day T1, didn't play well, finishes T16, and he was even under par, but that ain't going to cut it.
No, it's not. He looked lost. I mean, he didn't make a birdie on the back nine. He shot 36 or 7 on the back nine. His distance control was a circus. Well, I don't understand. I mean, that, like, the way he played today was almost like what you would expect after you, like, gain 40 pounds. Like, yes. you don't understand your distances. So maybe that's what we should expect, but he had been great up until that point. It was a weird day for him.
It was very weird. That's a great way to put it. If he didn't, like, yeah, T5, you know, finish one shot out of the playoff last week and play great for two rounds. That's what he should have looked like the first couple of rounds at Cologne. He looked very, very confused. So we'll see if he can tighten it up for tomorrow. And one thing I do want to put a bow on, because Greg and I talked about it after, what would that have been? Friday's round. Obviously, Nick Watney, WDs, because he tests positive for COVID-19, the PGA Tour, then they, you know, they initiate the response plan. They have the proactive plan, then they have the response plan. So they did a little contact tracing. They tested additional 11 personnel, I want to say. I guess it could have been golfers, could have been medical staff, could have been anybody else they thought got in contact with Nick Watney. All of those came back negative, which I guess is about as good of news as we could get here.
Yeah, I think so. I still have a little concern over Watney being at the course for as long as he was on Friday. That seemed not great. You know, I think, you know, people were talking on Twitter about how the PGA Tour kind of laid it out. I don't think they really tried to hide anything, but so it wasn't really their statement that bothered me as much as, like, wait a second. Like, if you're getting tested because you have symptoms, I mean, of all the scenarios, that's when you shouldn't be out there, you know? And I don't know. I get it. Like, you don't want it to come back negative, and then you haven't, like, warmed up. I don't know what time his tee time was or whatever, but that part of it is like, that's not great. And I think, just like we're seeing kind of in the college football world, is these are test cases right now. Like, literally, like, I don't mean that like the testing of the COVID, but like for like how this is going to function. And so I think how it plays out is important. And I think it's been decent so far, but the him being out there on the range, on the putting green, whatever, that's not great. And I think that's something that you have to figure out going forward. Did you see what JT said today, by the way?
Yeah, where he said, everything I drive past in Hilton Head is every bar, every restaurant filled to the brim. Doesn't look like anybody's wearing masks. Doesn't seem like they're taking it very seriously, if I have that quote somewhat correct.
Yeah, which is, I don't think that's super surprising if you've been kind of following the story nationally for the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. I don't think anybody would be surprised by that, but I do think it makes it difficult for golfers, especially who are traveling a lot, to do this well, right? And not that like they deserve privileges that other people don't have, but when people, you know, if a group of people is taking it seriously, and I don't know how seriously golfers or JT or whoever is taking it, but if they are, and a group of people is not, it makes it just, and you could say that about any two groups of people. It just makes it hard for everybody to be moving in the same direction and for all of this to work properly. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Sergio jumped in as well and said, I feel bad that Nick Watney got it. There's probably some other people that deserved it more than him.
Was there a follow-up question? Like, I gotta know who he's talking about, right? Guys who deserved it more.
I don't know who is. I mean, he's had a lot of beef over the years. Kuchar, Tiger, Yeah, I think him and Padraig were like not boys for a while, maybe still. I can imagine Sergio. If any player on the PGA Tour kept a list on their phone, it would be Sergio.
For sure. Yeah. No, I think this is really interesting. I mean, the tour is trying to do this bubble thing. And, you know, the bubble is not impenetrable. Now we'll see how good the response plan is and things like that. But I want to get Mark's take on this when we get him back on, because he was on site there. Because we'll wrap with this, but there was there were reports coming out 2 weeks ago that like some caddies and players were like, you know what, I'm just gonna go out and eat. Like, I don't care, I'm not gonna really follow this all too strictly. I wonder if this is a little bit of a wake-up call when someone on tour, as apparently nice as Nick Watney is, doesn't deserve to get it, according to Sergio. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this can shut the whole thing down again. And I hope, and I want to kind of get Mark's take on that as well, if it felt different after that test.
Well, I think the answer is yes, because and you probably noticed this watching it, but guys were over the first couple of days and even last week, fist bumping, touching, you're like, I don't know if that's great. And then today they were not, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, all the guys that I saw, DJ afterward, Poulter afterward, Brooks, none of them were touching. Maybe they're caddies, because that's a more intimate relationship. They kind of know where those guys have been or whatever. But I do think it's a little bit of like, oh, that's eye opening. It is weird. I was thinking about this as it relates to when everything shut down at the Players. I mean, imagine if a player had got it at the Players, everybody would have like lost it. Yeah. Right. And some of that is because we didn't really understand what was going on there. We didn't know how to go about this. And I think there is and should be a path forward for everyone, but it's very, I mean, it's a thin line, man, and it is very sensitive, and it's going to be difficult, not just for the PGA Tour, but for everybody within the sports world to walk it over the next few months.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. That'll do it for this episode of The First Cut. We have a full recap of the tournament coming tomorrow, so keep an eye on your feeds. Kyle Porter, at Kyle Porter CBS, thank you for joining me, sir. I'm Rick Gaiman, at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.